And it's Thursday. That means it's time for a theater review with our intrepid theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
So you and I were both in the audience for Beautiful, the Carole King musical, which opened on Tuesday, and it's at the Hippodrome through this weekend through Sunday. I've told many people about this, and you and I have shared this as well, that you know, if you're of a certain age, you know, meaning you were a teenager in the early 1970s, which we were, Carole King was just a huge part of your life. I mean, we didn't know anybody for whom that wasn't true. So that music, that album, Tapestry, was just such a part of our daily existence. But it's interesting, a lot of folks are not nearly as familiar with Carole King's life. So, I mean, what did you think? Did you feel like you got to know her in this show?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The show has a script by Douglas McGrath, and through a combination of what I felt was compassionate writing and a very compassionate performance by Julia Nightel, who was the understudy on Broadway, I really did feel I got to know her. Interestingly enough, the performers who portray Carole King are encouraged not to imitate her singing voice. I saw Carole King herself at the Hippodrome with Garrison Keillor in 2007, and I can tell you that at this point, Julia Nightel's voice is much smoother, much better than Carole King's, but she brings Carole King's emotions to the songs and to her acting. Carole King is just 16 years old when we meet her in the show, and she's very fresh. She's already writing songs, and then in rapid succession, she gets married and she has a baby, and she just cannot believe that so much good stuff is happening to her. And we see her go from that kind of high to really being disillusioned and heartbroken when Jerry Goffin, her husband and her lyricist, cheats on her and he plummets into depression. He's played by Andrew Brewer. The other strong element of the script, in addition to the story, is that even though these songs were all written as standalone pop songs, some of them are inserted in places where they tell us about and develop character and show what they're going through. Here's an example. We see the song One Fine Day performed by a singer who's called Janelle Woods. She's actually a fictitious character, probably a composite, and she performs it with backup singers. And it turns out that Jerry Goffin is having an affair with Janelle. So the first act ends with Carole King singing this alone at the piano in her home in tears. But I brought part of the song that is sung by the girl group.
One Fine Day, this is the recording from the Broadway production of Beautiful, the Carole King musical. One of the great things that I thought about this show is that you realize how many great songs she wrote that I wasn't even aware of.
Oh,
she
absolutely.
Wrote, she wrote them
absolutely.
For black groups, for white groups. She wrote one for the Monkees.
Yes,
she wrote one for the
Herman's
Drifters.
Hermits.
I mean, it's incredible. You don't think of that. But what did you think about the way the show was staged?
I actually thought it was staged very fluidly, and there were some very clever elements. The direction is by Mark Bruni, and the choreography is by Josh Prince. Part of the drama in the show is created by including a competing songwriting team, Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. They wrote You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin' and We Gotta Get Out of This Place. And there's one scene where we see Mann and Weil competing against King and Goffin to write a song for the Shirelles. And there's an upright piano, and it revolves between the two songwriting teams in their separate spaces. And we also do learn about songs that they wrote for the different groups that you're talking about. They also wrote for the Righteous Brothers, and they wrote Locomotion for Little Eva. Little Eva starts out as Carole King and Jerry Goffin's babysitter, and she's standing there in street clothes, and she sort of twirls around, and she ends up in a cocktail dress. They use that effect a couple times, and she ends up singing Locomotion with a full chorus. So it was very nice. And then we also have more fluid staging when we see Carole King, sometimes with Jerry Goffin, writing a song. And then that segues very seamlessly, really, into the various pop groups performing the songs. We see this transition, in fact, with the Shirelles. We see Carole King performing Will You Love Me Tomorrow, and then we see the Shirelles. They complain they think the song is too country western for them, but then they're performing it in concert. So here's the way it sounds in the show, sung by the performers playing the Shirelles.
Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight.
All right, so it starts with the Carole King actress, this kid, Julie Keitel.
Neitel.
She was terrific.
Yes, she really was.
And then you hear the Shirelles sing. So that's Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, performed by the original Broadway cast. Tell us quickly about some of the other performances.
Well, one of the people we see is Carole King's mother. I actually met her in Florida. She became a theater critic and was a very good friend of my godmother, who was also a theater critic in Florida. She's played here by an actress named Suzanne Grodner, who was also in the Broadway cast, and she has this sort of attitude that's part sass and part maternal pressure. She doesn't want Carole to make the same mistakes that she made. And the most important supporting characters are the people who play Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann. That's Erica Olsen and Ben Fankhauser, who's, I thought, a very strong vocalist as well. And including them really heightens Carole King's story. Their loving, supportive relationship becomes kind of a foil for Carole King and Jerry Goffin's rocky relationship. And then there's a whole ensemble that performs the different groups, the Drifters, the Shirelles, and I thought they were generally pretty solid. I did think that some of the vocalists in this group had, these groups had a tendency to really belt in a way that we're more accustomed to now on Broadway than these singers actually did in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I thought generally speaking it was a really strong cast.
Yes.
I gotta tell you, I love this show. Now, there have been a lot of musicals that are sort of biographical musicals about groups and stuff. Jersey Boys, Four Seasons, you know, had one. There's a Gloria Estefan one. How does Beautiful, the Carole King musical, compared to that?
Well, I think I've seen just about all of these. I even saw Leader of the Pack, about another female singer-songwriter, Ellie Greenwich, in the 1980s. I think Beautiful, in a way, is a cut above because of the very touching way that Carole King has written and performed. I really found myself rooting for her when she branches out on her own, when she does Tapestry, and then when she's at Carnegie Hall. I found it very, very joyous. And, of course, there are all those great songs. One Fine Day, It's Too Late, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. They're very moving songs, and they did become part of the fabric of our lives in the 60s and 70s.
Indeed. And I thought this young woman was a really remarkable performer. She played beautifully, sang beautifully, acted beautifully.
And I love the way in the beginning she just plays a couple bars from So Far Away, and the audience goes wild.
Everybody knows. So we got about a minute left. The Hippodrome has announced its season for next year, the 2017-18 season. What strikes you as worth being excited about?
Well, there's seven shows. They are all musicals, and they're almost all fairly recent Broadway shows. I'll give you very quickly some highlights. Waitress, based on the 2007 movie, An American in Paris with that lush Gershwin score. On Your Feet, the story of Emilio and Gloria Estefan in the same sort of genre as Beautiful. Love Never Dies, one of two Andrew Lloyd Webber shows coming here. That is the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, 10 years later. And School of Rock, these are his two most recent shows. So I think it looks like a pretty interesting season.
Yeah, interesting season, and certainly what's there now is worth seeing. I just thought it was a terrific show. Okay, thanks so much, Judy. I appreciate it. And next week we're going to talk about Grey Gardens at the Still Point Theater, right?
Oh, yes, and that's definitely one I'm excited to share with
you. That'll be fun. All right, Beautiful, the Carole King musical. It's at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore. Till Sunday, we've got a link to details about showtimes, etc., on our website, wypr.org/midday. Thanks to Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap, where we'll recap the news of the week with businessman and political advisor James DeGraffenreit, as well as Baltimore Sun editorial page editor Andy Green. Hope you can join us then. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your calls and your emails and your tweets. Stay tuned for Here and Now, which is on the way right after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.